Welcome back, Donald.
Yes.
It's good to see you.
Yeah, we have better conversations off air.
sometimes we do. Yes. Yeah. Let me set the table first. We got to make sure everybody checks out the website.
Okay.
And
yep.
TheValleyOutdoors.com, so check that out. And then, of course, Facebook. Check that out. There's always cool stuff and whatever else. So go ahead, Ava.
I should just record.
Like our conversation.
just continue the recording.
Yeah.
Well, and then be like, this is what we actually talk about.
Yeah.
Well, and the conversation was how many deer have we basically hit or been close to hitting? And I've hit three.
Ooh, zero for me.
Zero for me.
We're knocking on wood here, though.
Yep.
Yeah.
Is this wood?
I think it is. Somewhere underneath there is.
There it is. I found some.
But yeah, I had one with my boat early morning. I was pulling. I didn't hit it with my boat, but I was driving my truck behind. My truck was my boat, and that was not good. And then I was heading to some training for one of the companies I work with, and 94 clubbed a deer. Not a good thing. At 70 miles an hour, totaled the truck. It bent the bumper in. Airbags. When the airbags go off in that kind of an impact, you don't realize what happens. I didn't know either. I've never been in a situation, but the airbag went off and it blew the vents out of the dash into the back seat, and everything was cloudy. And at that point, you know, kinked the hood, didn't fold it up. But
were you okay?
Yeah, I never had any issue. The airbag never cut any blood. You know, any bloody nose or anything. But boy. Total out a half-ton truck with just like that. Because once the airbags go off and those things, it's pretty much...
In any vehicle, it's done.
You know.
Usually. And,
if you hit it that hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, we're in that season, so everybody drive careful out there. I mean, that's not the type of deer hunting we're looking for.
Especially at dusk, you know, either early morning or at evening where they're starting to move. It's just, it's a dangerous deal and not something you want to...
Drive with your brights on when you can.
Yep. Right.
And dim them when you need to.
Yep. Yeah.
And don't speed.
No.
Take your time.
Well,
get there safely.
Yeah. And I think realistically, if you're on a lot of those narrow roads, you just have to be plain old cautious. Even if you go the speed limit, it's just difficult. You know, and the difficult part I really find is, you know, they put these deer crossing signs in the worst possible places. I just can't understand it.
they're never where they actually
they
cross.
They should be... Where
the deer don't know where to cross.
They're telling them to cross in the wrong spot.
Right.
My point. Why do they do that? Can you explain that to me? It's in the most ridiculous places. I mean, they should be here's an open spot. We can see from both sides. Put the sign there, and everybody's happy. Why are you looking?
We need
at
a
me
wildlife
like that?
Bridge. Why? Have you heard of those?
Oh yeah,
they have them in California.
Yeah.
Sweet, and I hear they work.
And I hear they cost about a bajillion million dollars. I know of a bridge somewhere else that they put up.
We're not going there. you know, I've been out in South Dakota during pheasant hunting, and when the bucks are in rut, they're totally oblivious to anything around it. I mean, I was just amazed because there was a buck that was chasing about three does, and they literally were like running right past our vehicle. And they go around a grove, and here they come again. You know, they're just.
It's a little scary, because we've had them. We've encountered, and I think a lot of people that have pheasant hunted have had the same scenario.
Yep.
You're walking through a cut cornfield, or not a cut cornfield, even a cut cornfield. I had it happen.
Or a
you
grove.
Can't even see them, but in corn, you know, you're doing a drive through corn, and it. I don't know of anything that is more, and I'll use the word exhilarating. Or something that will make you fill your shorts as fast as you possibly can, other than coming up on a 10-point buck literally in front of you, and you're both looking at each other like,
move.
Oh, crap.
Mm-hmm.
And they're up and at them, and you hope they're not up and at them
coming
your way.
Yep.
Because they'll run down that the row.
Corn row, yep.
And you better get out of the way. So, yeah.
That happens a lot to us when we're walking a tree-lined grove.
Yep.
And if you're blocking on the end...
Incoming.
Your pushers are yelling, you know, deer or buck coming. Keep your eyes open because they'll go right by you.
Oh, yeah. Or
through you.
Or over you.
Yeah. Over generally.
Over is what you're trying to avoid.
Yeah. The over part's not good.
No.
Hoof Prints on My Heart is a song that you'd write after that. It's not a good thing. Not a good thing. Speaking of the hunting aspect, we're looking at shortages and everything, right? Shortages everywhere. Shortage here, shortage there.
Right.
Well, the ammo shortage is a reality, and it still is, and especially for the popular rifle cartridges. Shotgun shells in most gauges and deer cartridges must, and most calibers, continue to be few to none opportunity in most sporting goods outlets. Hunters should not expect availability of ammunition to improve greatly leading up to and through the fall hunting seasons. A few hunters have gotten lucky, and others have made the rounds weekly to find a box or two on a shelf. Some have considered purchasing a gun in hopes that the sports shop would be able to throw in a box of cartridges.
That's kind of
an expensive way to go, isn't it? That's like the wife wanting to buy a purse, and then you have to have the shoes to match, right?
Mm-hmm. It's all about the accessories.
Or vice versa.
Buying a mm-hmm. fishing rod because you like the fishing reel you have. You have to have something to match. I think it's a solid concept. Jimmy Hamilton, the research range manager at Vortex Optics, will be getting on sometime soon. Was in the same predicament as hunters. They'd be given thought and effort to maintaining enough ammunition for testing. And that range's primary purpose is research on their rifle scopes. And, of course, impacts are what makes the difference with scopes to make sure that once you fire it, it maintains its sight. A few of his ideas include planning ahead and ordering before there is a need. If an order is back ordered, he keeps ordering and from other suppliers. So suppliers won't take an order though he has discounts. So some of them are difficult that way. Expect to have to wait. Expect to have to pay more. Accept off-brand if that's all there is. So don't expect to have premium and that's all you're going to get. To cut sight-in needs, sometimes requiring many rounds, Hamilton says check the mechanics and scope before firing a shot. Make sure everything is right and tight. Learn how to do bore sighting, and that's going to be important as well. For deer hunting, considering going Minnesota style, there's mostly slugs, and they can easier to get than a rifle cartridge. Other people decide to go muzzle loaders, which is also a good option. Archery season is also long. Take advantage of that, too, if you want to get out hunting. In some states, crossbows can be used with a buck tag during the gun season. But that said, many purchasing a crossbow before November, they'd have to buy one before the November 20th opener, and that's part of the regulations in Wisconsin requiring gun buck deer harvest authorization. It authorizes a harvest of one buck with any legal weapon type. Looking back, some of us were suggesting crossbows during the years when the rut was completely missed by gun hunters. Hunt with the rut with a crossbow, which may be as good as a shotgun or rifle at close range. So, last resort, borrow from a buddy. Don't hoard the cartridges, and wherever you do, do not give up fall hunts in 2021, even if it means taking a camera into the woods instead of a Remington. So,
That's a good idea.
Yeah, there you go, I'm all about that.
Yeah.
See, I told my husband that I would like to take pictures. Like, I'm almost at that point where taking pictures interests me more than actually hunting.
Yeah.
And he said no.
Know what?
I need to hunt. Oh. He's like, no, you don't have an you got to bring a gun with you.
I love that. I'm sorry. There is no option here. You've been rejected. That's not going to happen. Nope. Sorry, not happening. Well, tell you what, hang tight. We're going to talk a little bit about North Dakota and the drought, how it's affecting the pheasant count. We're going to talk a little head-to-head fishing, and that's about some of the cool stuff coming up. So hang tight. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together we can make a difference. So, Ava, a lot of stuff happening. Kind of wrapping up the walleye season and the tournament and competitive fishing side of the fence.
Yeah.
The head-to-head tournament circuit ended this last week.
Yeah, where were they at?
Chautauqua Lake, or Lake Chautauqua. somebody will know and
correct you
and kick me in the head. I believe it's Lake Chautauqua, and that's in New York. You know, the part that I find it's so difficult right now, you know, you watched it, I watched the event. It's all broadcast on Facebook and YouTube. And this year, the bite, and we talked about it earlier, the bite being so bad, there was more zeros. And these, you know, I mean, I fished on the tour. I still do. Back at it next year. But they're good anglers, and there's no taking anything away from them. And the part that makes it difficult is when you're sitting there watching a show and the first day, you got two zeros for the whole day for two anglers. And someone moves on because they had a higher ranking in that year. I mean, that was the whole thing was just so difficult. You know, there are some good some guys really knocked the crap out of the fish. Nice part is you can go back and look at it. And I encourage you guys to check it out. It's entertaining. When you look at the event, and you can learn a lot by seeing what they're doing with all the advanced electronics. And so it's pretty amazing stuff. But boy, I tell you what, unbelievable as far as the tough, difficult bite. I mean, zeros and one fish wins it for the day.
Right.
If they go to 1 o'clock and you still don't have a fish, it goes to what they call Dinkfest. Or I think it was 11 o'clock, it goes to Dinkfest, meaning any fish counts. Otherwise, it has to be 2 pounds prior to that. So many did go. And, of course, if you don't go to Dinkfest, whoever's got the two-pounder, of course, they're in a big advantage because they've got a chance to get the leg up. But head-to-head, I know I watched a couple guys out there. Joe Okada did a great job. Cheers to Joe. I'm not saying who won it because that would be spoiling,
ruining the surprise.
But we will have... We will have the winner of head-to-head fishing championship. We will have him on, or her, can't say who. We will have that person on next week, and they'll join us. We'll talk a little bit about tactics. We'll talk a little bit about their view of how the season was as a whole, and really kind of give us some insight on the first year of head-to-head fishing, which was the first year of this format ever. I thought the format was good. I think they have to examine some of the locations that they went to because it got real difficult at times to tune in because there was 0-0-0-0 pool two this year.
But maybe it's more about timing when they were at those locations.
It could be, but you know. I will say this. Then timing needs to be readjusted because, not good. But as a whole, kind of reflects what went on with the fishing season. So that's one of those things that goes with
here. I thought it was just me
struggling.
Well, up at cab it might have been.
Yeah, oh yeah,
that's right, because he had to get the special presentation, the slip hook presentation. I love that. Recently DNR has learned of two Minnesota deer farms that received deer from a CWD, that's chronic wasting disease positive farm in Wisconsin. September 27th, Minnesota DNR learned the deer farms in Minnesota were among those that received deer from a Wisconsin farm where chronic wasting disease was discovered in August. According to the report in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, the farm where the CWD was detected sold nearly 400 deer to 40 farms in 7 states during the past 5 years. I don't get it. How in the world can that happen if there's testing that's being done?
That's what I was just going to say. If they're tested, how does that get moved
DNR,
on?
DNR contacted the Minnesota Board of Animal Health the same day to verify authenticity of the report. The BAH, Minnesota Board of Animal Health, confirmed that the two Minnesota deer farms had received a total of 5 deer from the Wisconsin farm between 2016 and 17. It's unknown if the deer were infected when they were transferred to Minnesota. The news of Minnesota deer farms imported deer from Wisconsin farm infected with CWD is extremely concerning, and the commissioner, Sarah Strauman, said the DNR is actively considering management responses to the threat to Minnesota's wild deer. You know, it's the same situation. I mean, obviously different, but the same. When the ponds that people decided to put in along the Mississippi River that they were raising fish, and they put carp in there. It turns out it was invasive carp, and somebody didn't realize that Mississippi River floods, and how that happens, I have no idea. And then that's how they escaped and got into the river. So now we're dealing with that. So it's the same kind of thing. We're trying to eliminate the CWD. And I think if there's going to happen where you have a deer farm, you need to make sure if it's something is shipped, it's tested immediately. There's no way around it. You test it before you ship it. Make sure there's nothing going on. Why it was not done, don't know. Clear Lake, Minnesota farm received 3 deer from that infected farm in the fall of 2017. 2 of those deer were killed in early 21. CWD was not detected in them. The 3rd deer is still alive. The owner is awaiting payment prior to making the final animal available for testing. At this time, the entire Clear Lake herd is quarantined. It's an always fatal disease.
Yeah, I mean, at some point they're gonna have to figure out how to eradicate it altogether, because when it gets into the wild, then it's a real problem.
No, and it's been a real problem. So, yep. A sad story to end, but I would be remiss if I didn't bring it up. The fishing world, professional angling, just fishing in general, lost a tremendous angler and an amazing gentleman by the name of Pete Harsh. I was fortunate enough to fish with Pete for 2 years on the FLW Tour, and was just an educational, an encyclopedia. And if he didn't like you, you'd know, he'd let you know. He was the first guy that shook my hand when I won the event, or when I got off the water when I won in 2010. And he just looked at me and says, "Well, did you kick it out of the park, or did you step on it?" And I said, "I kicked it." And biggest smile you can ever imagine on his face, his big old paw comes up and shakes my hand, and the rest was history on that deal. But guy was amazing. Major titles in his history, the MWC or the FLW Walleye Tour, the RCL, and the PWT Professional Walleye Trail. He was Angler of the Year in 2008, Tour Champion in FLW in 2007, Mr. Walleye Classic Champion in 2007, Champion in the Super Pro in 2006. So it goes on and on and on and on and on. But it's a sad deal that he passed, and we are going to miss him. He was a great guy, and our moments together were fantastic. And if you have a chance, say hi to Sandy, and we'll be good. But nonetheless, we are the Valley Outdoors. We are out of here. For Ava, Don, myself, see you next week.